Blog Talk Radio.
Baseball season's underway. Well, you better get ready for a brand new day. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gone.
Saturdays, we forget about all the evil in the world and we talk about things that really matter to Americans now. The reason why I chose that song tonight, Go Cubs Go, is one, I am a Cubs fan since I was a little kid because I like their uniforms and I've always had a soft spot for the Cubbies because they never could win. Well, the passing of Jimmy Buffett today, which I am a huge parrot head, and I do have the scars to prove it. And that is literally no joke. But Jimmy Buffett was a Cubs fan and sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game and a couple of times. He was a Cubs fan. So rest in peace, Jimmy. You gave me a lot of great memories, a lot of them. I've been to a lot of shows. I can remember a couple of them, but... Nevertheless, there was a lot of great memories, and may he rest in peace, and Harry Carey as well, too. And, you know, the Cubbies, come on. We need some runs, all right? Come on. Just go score some runs. That's all you need to do. Well, the NFL season is very fast approaching. We will begin picks next Saturday. We have a game coming up. The first game will be on Thursday. That will be Detroit against Kansas City. I'm picking Detroit just because I want to see the upset. Who knows what's really going to happen, but it's going to be an interesting, it's going to be a fun season. I can't wait. All the rosters are set. New England was down to one quarterback. Well, they just acquired a man, and I looked him up. He didn't play at all last year. This is his third year in the league, so he must have been on a practice squad. The jersey looked like a Jaguars or Carolina, so I don't know where he was or what he was doing. So Belichick seems to, well, think he knows what he's doing. And you kind of got to let him roll a little bit. I mean, he does have the, well, street cred. Anyway, hopefully Seth is going to have some good this week in sports because I love that stuff. I love all that, you know, trivia, finding out things that you knew and surprising you. So let's bring Seth on board right now. Let's get this ship underway. Seth, my good friend, welcome aboard and happy Saturday.
Wait a minute.
Seth just dropped. I picked him up and he dropped on me. What happened? Mike's on. What happened? I picked Seth up and he dropped on me. Well, hopefully he calls back. I don't know what happened. Viper's not here yet. If you do want to catch a show before this show, Enhanced Sports Show from 4 to 6 p.m. on Saturdays. Their number is 512-543-4662. I don't know where they are. I just know that's all you get is the phone number. Now, let's see if Seth, stay on board this time, Seth. Welcome aboard. Happy Saturday again.
Shabbat shalom, everyone.
Shabbat shalom. I picked up on you and I said, Seth, welcome aboard. Happy Saturday. And then you said it was dropped. It was, you were gone. So, but
football season is upon us and it's magnificent.
It's gonna be a fun season this year. It's gonna be fun. It really is. And look, I mean, everything is pointing to the Jets. Now, here's the thing, and I don't want to put a, you know, but what happens if something happens to Roger? God forbid. Then it's over. The whole thing is over. He has to stay healthy.
Oh,
you know what
no. And if you really look at it in the playoff system and everything that is happening, the NFL season is happening now. This is all.
Are you being arrested?
Now.
I can hear the sirens. You being arrested? Where the hell are you?
Well, you know, I'm one of the.
What are you, in Oakland?
No, I couldn't afford that baseball team.
Yeah, well. Hey, look, they're going to be in Vegas next year. It's great. Good for them.
Yeah. Oh, no. I feel so bad for the Oakland fans for baseball and football for so long. Yeah.
Hey, you know what, though? Here's the thing. When they said they were going to move to Vegas, then all of a sudden, all of these – Fairweather fans come out and say, don't move the team, don't move the team. And they're showing up and saying, where the hell have you been for the past 15 years? They haven't been showing up. You can't get there.
It's a farce. So even with the Oakland Athletics as a baseball team, and you look at this, it's been a farce for so long. You're better off going to Las Vegas. And you know this, and every other real fan knows this for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, hey, look, good for them. But the Raiders, though, you know, you've been in Vegas now long enough. It's time to produce. You know, I don't want to hear it. No more excuses. Now, Garoppolo, I think Garoppolo is going to be a good, you know, intermedium, you know, can he bring them? Well, he brought San Francisco to the Super Bowl, if I remember correctly.
Well, Garoppolo is very similar to Derek Carr. So when you're doing this different quarterback thing with the Raiders, are you really making it that much different? Probably not.
Well, I think what I'm saying is
probably
I
not.
Think,
but,
well, I know, but here, this is what I was saying, is you, it's going to be, because there was tension with Carr. So, you know, the system is going to be easy for him to learn. The guys already know their system. Now you got a guy that's an intermediate guy that you can get through. Now, when you draft another quarterback, because, you know, Oakland is still rebuilding, and they're just going to take Garoppolo for as long as they can. And they know he can get into that system, but he has a different attitude than Carr. And I really believe that that really was a big thing, that they just didn't like him for whatever reason. And I think
no matter what happens this year compared to last year, the Raiders are screwed. The quarterback situation is not solidified. We're just going to see what happens, right? And in the last second with the Raiders, they finally accepted Josh Jacobs' contract. So you already know this Raiders team. We don't know what could happen with this Raiders team. And then on top of it, the AFC West with the Broncos with that quarterback fiasco.
Nah,
yeah,
they're not doing
nothing. The AFC West is a weird thing, but, I mean, Herbert, in my opinion, he's the best out there anyways.
Well, you know, I just want to see the rest of the team. Let's do it. And Chargers always have, they can always, you know, score a lot of points. Rivers did that. He would go out and score a gazillion points, and then the defense would go out and give up a gazillion and one. It's like, come on. But no, the Chargers have to do a lot of improvements. Hey, they're paying him $54 million a year. He better show up to work. But the Raiders, I mean, the Raiders are going to be 8-9 or 9-8. That's all they're going to be.
Ouch.
If that's the best. That's the best. They're not going into no double digits. You know, look, you got to get past, well, KC, obviously, but you're going to get past Denver. But you do got to get past the Chargers. And I think last year, even though they made the playoffs, was a bit of a fluke. They played horrible. Well, if they can get that little monkey off their back, wow. I mean, you know, look out. That could be a dangerous, dangerous team. And maybe even challenge the Chiefs. They challenged the Chiefs. I'm sorry, slap shot just came to me, but
no. And actually, when people talk about challenging the Chiefs, they really have no idea the stats that Patrick Mahomes has put up every single year, and you have no idea their record. The Chiefs are really the AFC Championship go through. If you're going to go to the AFC Championship game, you're playing the Chiefs. That's it.
But something, I don't know, that was so smooth how they went into the Super Bowl, and they just went in, they showed up, they won, and they went home. It was just like, you know, just it was easy. Just, you know, another day at the office. You know, it was remarkable how calm, cool, and collected, you know, that they just came in. It was too smooth. But that was not a catch. It should have been a little bit different. But, yeah, but whatever. But now, can they really do that again next year? It's hard to repeat. I don't care how good you are. Look, how many times did the Patriots repeat the Super Bowl?
Well, no. You brought up a great point. The Patriots, in 20 years, went to 17 AFC championship games. So the Chiefs, yeah, they could do this as well. They're going to do this as well. They're going to be the team that if somehow something happens, you went through the AFC Championship game. You went through the Chiefs. Period. And it's going to be for a while. I don't see any other
You had to go through. Right, you had to go through the Patriots, and now you are going to have to go through the Chiefs. If you're in that conference, you will eventually at some point down the road, you're going to have to go through.
No, but in the AFC, you look at any of the teams that might make it and do great things. Look at any of the great teams, the Bills, the whatever, blah, blah, blah. The Bengals. No, the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be in the AFC Championship game. It's just them and everybody else. That's it.
It's going to be the championship game. It's going to have to come down to Jets and Kansas City. I really do. That's where it's going to come down. And imagine that. Imagine Jets and Kansas City. You've got, Mahomes right now is in his prime. And Rodgers is in the limelight of his career. But he's still active and he's still good. Now, do you go with wisdom and experience over, vitality and verve, if you will? You see what I'm saying? That's going to be an interesting matchup. I'd love to see that game.
Oh, no. And everybody, as a Jets fan, wants to see that Aaron Rodgers really is a solution. Because if he's not, that experiment's over in 1 year.
Yeah, but it's only a one-year experiment. If he wins the Super Bowl, I would be very surprised if he came back next year. And the Jets know it. They just want the ring now. And they haven't had one since Joe Namath back when they were still dinosaurs. So they want one now. It's been 40-some years, man. 50 years.
One this year, coming back next year, right? And that's the mea culpa. That's the end-all be-all. That's what I would see.
Yeah, 53 years or 50 whatever. They want that ring, and they don't care. The fans don't care. They could care less about Aaron Rodgers, but as long as you bring them a ring – they'll love him. And then when he retires, Rodgers, who, what? Oh, yeah, we remember him. Yeah.
No, and you're looking at last time the Jets did anything, that was Joe Namath. So we're
58.
Yeah,
right.
we're talking a long, long time. This is a drought for a major market.
30 years
that you haven't seen 50 ever.
50-something years.
Yeah.
Yeah, 50-some years. That would have been the third Super Bowl. That was in 69 and the 68 season. 69, yeah, so 52, 53 years, whatever. But it don't matter. The Jets, hey, look, they've got only one thing to do, and that's to win. And win it all, not go there. New York fans are not going to accept, oh, that's nice, you went to the Super Bowl. That's no. You go to the Super Bowl and lose, it's, you might as well just come in last place and got it done with. It's the same thing. They don't, there's no patience. There's no understanding and compassion. This is New York football. Oh, God. So,
no. And so, really, this is the year that the Jets have to do it.
Have to.
And if they don't have to do it, you have to go into the playoffs and go deep. That's all.
Okay, well let me ask you this. What do you think would be the best matchup? Now, that's just considering that the Jets take the AFC. Okay, let's just consider that. Who then would be the best matchup in the NFC? Would it be Dallas, Philadelphia? Look, there's not going to be anybody in the South. The West, maybe San Francisco, but they're going to be hurt. Rams, I don't think are going to do much. Then you got the North. You got Chicago. Who? What? Detroit? Green Bay, Minnesota, probably not. Washington, Philadelphia, Giants, or Dallas. I think you've got the best match. It's either going to be Dallas or Philly. I hate to say it, but
no,
I mean,
it's probably going to be Philly. Philly is probably still the best NFC team, period.
Well, I mean, well, San Francisco is the best all-around team, but they just can't stay healthy. They got the best defense.
Well, yeah,
they got everything.
Who's going to be the quarterback at the end, bro?
Yeah, Purdy's starting.
Well, they're Purdy now. Let's see, week 16.
Great story behind him, right? Well, anyway, when he got put in the system and he started, dude, he was gangbusters, man. He knew the throws to make. He doesn't have a rocket arm. He does not have a million-dollar arm at all, right? But he's like, I know that I need to throw this slant right now, boom, 30 yards out so the guy can get it, and bam. Dude, he put up some stats at Iowa State. He put up some serious stats.
Hey, you don't necessarily have to have a, you know, throw the 80, 90-yard bombs. Hey,
no,
all you need
Joe
to do is keep getting, Joe Montana couldn't do it. Peyton Manning wasn't known for his 90-yard bombs. All you need is a first down and a bunch of them. You know, and eventually you'll cross the goal line. But, no, I mean, look, Seattle might have a puncher's chance, but not. I don't see anybody in the South, Atlanta, Carolina, New Orleans. I think New Orleans, though, is going to win the South. Now they got Mayfield in Tampa.
It's central in baseball this year. It is.
Yeah.
NFC South, it's just trash. It is. 7-9 or not anymore. You know, like 8-9
it's,
or not.
Yeah, it's. No, it's not good. And then the North, I mean, you still got Chicago who's still trying to work things, but they suck. And they're going to be at tops. Maybe 7. I don't know. And Detroit, God only knows. God bless them. And Green Bay, though, I don't think Green Bay is going to be near as bad as a lot of people think. You got Love, who's got a little bit of experience. It's a new day in Green Bay. You know, Rodgers and all of that drama is out of the locker room. You don't have it anymore. They can start fresh. I don't know. Green Bay might be all right.
You look at first-year quarterbacks when they took over Aaron Rodgers. He had a nice, like, season. Everybody's like, wow, impressed with him. They went 6-10. As a quarterback in the league, you have to learn how to win a game. Like, you have to learn fourth quarter, balls in my hand, last minute and a half, right? I need to learn how to win this game. It's a different thing. But, yeah, no. Their defense has underperformed for years now. So, it's like, they get their solid defense, and then, they could make a move for sure. For sure.
Well, but, you know, everybody keeps discounting Minnesota, and that is because, hey, look, we know you're probably going to win a bunch of games in the regular season, but, you know, once we turn the lights on, you go home. So we're not really all that concerned. But what if Minnesota surprises the hell out of everybody and they go deep into the postseason? Well, they're going to lose it like they did the last four times they did that.
They go to find it.
Yeah, well, and Chicago, believe it or not, of all the great players that have come out of Chicago, they've only won it once. And I hated that team in 85, I hated that team. I hated them.
Yeah.
That was probably the worst team Dick coached. Yeah, I didn't like all that rapping and Hollywood crap. It's like, that's not a football team. And then the Raiders tried that crap, too.
Especially back in 85. Right? It was just like, yeah, it was grotesque.
Yeah, but I mean, look, I mean, you had Gale Sayers and you had Dick Butkus on your team, and you were the worst team in the league every year. You've got Gale Sayers and Dick Butkus on your team.
Right.
The best offense, the best defense player. Don't make no sense. I'm making no sense. But hey, look, well, I think Dallas could make a run for Philly though this year.
Yeah, they got all the way there. But I would make a case for Fields making a great leap last year, right? And now they got him more receivers and a better offensive line. Their offensive line last year was horrible. Horrible. And then the Lions, they went out and paid the Bears running back 3 years, $18 million, $6 million a year, right? That, for running backs, dude, that's super solid. Super solid. But Montgomery, he put up like 900-some-odd rushing yards and a bunch of catches and like touchdowns. But anyway, he had no offensive line. And then he's going to the Lions, and their line is immaculate. Top five. Definitely top five. Top two or three, probably. Philly probably has the number one. And then the Lions are right up there. But they have a strategy of drafting Penei Sewell at 6 or 7, right? When everybody else is taking skill players, this and that, dude. Like, no, we need a big mauler up front.
Here's the thing with Detroit is they finished off the season on a very, very, very high note. They started winning games towards the end of the year. They started figuring themselves out, figuring things out, like Jacksonville did the year before, where they started winning, you know, and then Jacksonville did last year. So if Detroit can come into this season where they left off, and that was a great note how they beat Green Bay, not that they needed to, it didn't matter, but that was a huge, huge win because Green Bay and Detroit, you know that's always been a long, long, long rivalry. And for Detroit to beat Green Bay in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, it doesn't matter that they gave up or whatever, but that was a big win for them as far as confidence. And if that coach can keep them, which I do like their coach, and if, you know, if they can do this, hey, look. Detroit has a chance to take it, too. We could have a battle, Detroit and Green Bay, like we used to. Maybe Detroit can challenge Minnesota. And then Chicago, and, like you're right. I mean, hey.
And our season usually ends with the Packers. Either we're home or we're away, right?
Yep.
Going to Lambeau in December is horrible. But if they come here, right, for all the marbles, dude. The Ford Field sold out, Cap. They sold out Lions season tickets this year.
I'm sure they did. I mean, look, there's Detroit has to feel good about their Lions coming in this year. Now, week four, week five may be a little bit different. They may come down to earth, but, you know, but they feel good, and they've got every reason to. They left on a high note. And, look, you got a new coach. You got a competent quarterback. Goff, I don't care what anybody says. You know, he's not going to lose games for you. Not going to lose any games for you.
No, but if you look at games and the very first game.
We're cutting out.
You're
cutting way out. Yeah, there you go.
And the Chiefs against the Lions opening night. Opening night on Thursday. That tells you that the NFL says the Lions should at least be good enough to make this game interesting. Even if they get destroyed,
you're going to get busted.
No, I think this is a perfect opportunity. Now, look, if the Chiefs lose, it's not going to hurt the Chiefs very much. If the Lions lose, it's probably going to sting. But that's a big boost for them. If the Lions win, that's a big, big, big win for the Lions. And it's another confidence booster. That's why I'm going with them. I think they're going to come out. I don't think the Chiefs are going to expect them. And I think the Lions are going to come out swinging. They don't care that they're the underdog. We're not here for that. We're here to play to win, and they're going to do it.
initially, because when you talk about teams that play their week one start or this or that, a lot of times teams don't actually do it. And I'm telling you, there's a guy named, I think, Jamar Gibbs. He's kind of like Christian McCaffrey. He came from Alabama. And
we
this guy,
12 overall, dude, running back.
This guy might see the game in Kansas City that the Lions beat Kansas City week one.
They couldn't game plan for Jamar Gibbs.
No, there's no game plan for him.
Cap, they were comparing him to Deebo Samuel running the ball. He's a running back. He catches those little 7-yard flares or, you know, he runs routes.
Yeah. Well,
so,
hey, look, you know, a lot of people, you know, yeah, we've already picked the Jets and this and that, but you know what? Buffalo still has something to prove. Cincinnati still has something to prove. Baltimore thinks they might have something, but I don't think so. But Jacksonville, you cannot count that team out. They went to the title game last year.
They're up and coming.
No, actually, I just saw something the other – we're already discounting Jacksonville. I'm like – Trevor Lawrence is maybe the greatest quarterback in the NFL, not just the AFC. So let's see where he plays it out, because I'm telling
well,
you.
Well, he learned. I've been watching him, and I
Trevor
see him
Lawrence.
Learn. I see him learning during the game. Every play, he gets better as the game is progressing. He learns from his mistakes in of the first quarter, and by the fourth quarter, he's got it all worked out. And hey, they're moving. You can't discount them too. You can't do it. So
but
look, you've got let's see, one and New England now. Look, I mean, I wouldn't underestimate New England. I'm not going to put a whole lot of stock in them. But I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they weren't, you know, trying to get in the mix of all of this. You know,
they got that 3 years too late, right? No, it's the New England way, like it is. After their run, you know, it's like throw bad money at like used to be good players.
Yeah, but Belichick has a knack for using this player. He's not going to be used very much. He's only going to be used where Belichick knows his strengths are. So his weaknesses don't get – he just concentrates on their strengths. So he knows this is his last year in the NFL. So I'm just going to use whatever he does for his strength and use that and take my advantage.
Are you a system or are you system quarterback? Tom Brady went to Tampa Bay. He won a Super Bowl.
Correct.
Bill Belichick has not been to the playoffs since.
Like, he didn't do crap before Brady either. Remember, he was in Cleveland to start his career, which is a tough show. It'd be like being a Lions coach. Like, they're not expecting much.
Well,
right.
Look, Brady wouldn't have been anywhere without Belichick, and Belichick wouldn't have been anywhere without you. Needed both.
Sure.
You needed both of them.
For sure.
So, but anyway, I got to bring Viper on board here now. Viper, my good friend, welcome aboard and happy Saturday.
Hey, good to be here. Sorry, I was a little bit late.
Well, we're just discussing a little bit of football and got into New England here. Now, they picked up a guy. And he didn't play last year. This is his second year. So he looked like he was on a practice squad. I can't tell what his jersey was. It looks like Jacksonville or Carolina. But anyway, they acquired him. So Zappi, I don't know what happened to him. He had such a great year last year, and the team really was split. And he was challenging Mac Jones for the starting job, and he comes in this year and he like forgot how to play. And Belichick had to, he's on the practice squad, but Now they had to get this Matt Corral that nobody's ever heard of before to back up.
Matt Corral was one of the top quarterbacks out of his class out of North Carolina. This guy, I think, can play.
But he didn't play last year. He looked like he was on the practice squad for somebody.
For the Panthers.
No, he was backup. Yeah, he was backup. It was the Panthers. Hey, who's here with us? Is that the Pubs?
Piper. Correct. Correct.
Do I hear the Pubs on the Blog Talk Saturday night show? Is that what I hear?
Viper, in my mind, I'm shooting a 36-footer over you, dude, for three, from way back. I'm going logo.
No, I think that's a pretty good pickup. I thought Matt Corral was wasn't he drafted into the Commanders?
No, he was a Panther pick, but I think he was like a third, fourth, fifth round. He was like a middle rounder. Right. It was like they took a flyer.
That year
of quarterbacks in the draft was horrible. It was. Kenny Pickett, and then who else you got right now?
Washington. If these two guys that they had, and even I think it was a draft pick, the rookie. He got rid of him. So, I mean, Belichick knows what he's doing. Maybe he has faith in these two guys is why he didn't send them on a bus ticket home. He normally used to do. Maybe he's trying to start a little fire in him because Zappy, how you could go from being really, really good to just stinking up the joint. That's mental.
Everybody, as we're criticizing Zappy.
No, we're not. We're rooting for Zappy.
Right.
He was
4-1. I think he was 4-1 as a starter, everybody.
5-1.
So, of course, I don't know stats like everybody else, like Paul. But anyway,
I honestly probably don't have anything better to do. I'm always watching. I'm always keeping set.
Yeah, but he was 4-1.
By the way,
4-1.
By the way, I have to do a correction.
You're not doing bad as a starting quarterback in a game, in a real NFL game, and you're 4-1.
No,
this guy is a good quarterback, but was he a part of a system? Was he part of a whatever?
Yeah.
Well, he didn't play anything.
I have to correct myself now. I confused him with a guy that went to North Carolina. He was at Ole Miss under Lane Kiffin and a third-round pick, 94th overall.
Third round?
Third right. round, 94th overall with Carolina.
What did the Niners just get for a third overall pick? For the third overall pick. San Francisco, it's a crazy storm going on right now.
Hey, well, look, we'll see what happens. I mean, Mac Jones should stay healthy, but he did get hurt for almost, six games last year. That's a chunk of games. That's the thing for every team is staying healthy. And that's what I was talking about earlier. And I don't mean to jinx the guy, but look, if Aaron Rodgers, something goes down with him, like he's been injured before. I mean, that's it. This whole experiment is over.
I remember a couple years ago and I knew that Joe Burrow was hurt. And this and that, and everybody was saying this and that, and I was like,
"He came back."
No. I am an AFC North guy. I love the Steelers. I always want the Steelers to win every single year. Trust me. And when I knew Joe Burrow went to Cincinnati and eventually come back, I was like, "No one has any idea how good this guy is." Son of a gun, he's going to do stuff and it can be cool. Like, Super Bowl cool. Like, he's going to go past our own conference or division and actually go to the Super Bowl. And he already did it.
Hey, guys, I got to hold on 2 seconds, guys. I got to Seth, hold on 2 seconds. You guys keep talking. I got to go take care of something just important. So keep talking.
Wait, I thought Lou was coming on.
So,
Lou can't come on till 7.
Oh, no, let's talk Red Wing hockey.
No, let's talk Luka Doncic for 60 seconds, dude. You familiar with his work?
Talk what?
Luka Doncic for the Dallas Mavericks.
You've got me at a loss.
He,
Darko Milicic?
Team Luka.
Dallas Mavericks?
Davin.
All right, I'm sorry. That was...
Luka.
Luka Doncic.
Yeah,
Luka Doncic.
Yeah, NBA.
Luka Brasi? What are you guys talking about?
Was that Hitler's girlfriend?
No, Luka Brasi from Godfather.
You know this, and I know this. It's not good.
Ava Braun.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, Ava Braun.
Well, anyway, before I had that call, Seth, they're still Burrow is still questionable for week one.
No, and they were cousins, so it kind of made it weird. But anyway,
so I mean, who is Cincinnati playing week one? Let me see, because you may not want to play him if he's still questionable, and they say, well, he's making progress. Well, they're playing Cleveland. I wouldn't play him. That would be me. I wouldn't play Burrow week one.
Who's their backup? Does anybody know?
What the heck was his name? I got it right here. Hold on. Browning. And they say he gets the number two job. He's had 1 year. He came out of Washington, so he's a Husky. Woo! And he's 6'2", 210 pounds. So,
well, if you like,
I like
Skeet,
no.
if you're a fan of the Huskies, Skeet, this Michael Penix Jr. should be a top 5 quarterback pick in the draft.
Oh, well, right. See, you know,
right now
we
have
the Huskies
quarterback, Michael Penix, dude. Michael Penix Jr. is up. Have you seen him play at Washington? He is ridiculous.
Legit.
He's legit. He's coming out in the draft this year. That's what I'm saying.
No, Pubs, it's going to be exciting. Pubs, I have a real question for you on this. You know this much about this guy. He's a high profile. And then these NILs or whatever these college deals are. What is he getting paid to play there this year?
I have no idea about that. I don't have any idea about the number, but a lot of them are getting multi-million-dollar-a-year contracts. I'm not saying he is, but a lot of players like him are getting multi-million-dollar contracts.
Per year.
Dude, the sports cars industry, they can sign them, and then give them a bunch of money.
I know, but now this guy is probably getting $2 million to play.
I would hope so. He's worth way more. Yes. I don't know. I'm not value. He balls out.
Right. No, I know, Bob. All right.
Let's see, who does Cleveland have here now? Let me see. But I mean, look, here's the thing. Burrow, when he got hurt pretty bad. And he was out, wasn't he out for a whole season and then he comes back? He was out for
most
quite
of it,
a while.
Yeah.
He was out for at least 1 year, but it was like another like four games or three games.
He tore ligaments.
Yeah, it was a bad injury,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah,
and
but then he went to the Super Bowl. So he came back, you know.
He's Joe Cool in my book. Honestly, it's
you know, but my point is,
so
I know, but my point is, when you get an injury and you know it's you're very susceptible, like what we saw with Carr. I mean, and Wentz, their career was over. But I mean, Burrow showed that he had a bad injury and he came back and then he went to the Super Bowl. But last year he played great. He didn't look, you know, too banged up or anything. But hey, look, he's already banged up now and he's questionable for week one. I mean, if he comes back, I mean, who's to say if he goes down again? I mean, he might be one of those that just can't get off the injured list. And I hope not, because I love watching him play. He's
no,
an exciting,
I mean,
fun
quarterback.
What are
you talking about? The Burrows has not been injured for like 3-4 years.
No.
It's fine. Yeah, we're going to be okay. Yeah. Yeah, this guy is one of the best ever in the game. And you know what?
Well,
this sucks because I'm a Steelers fan, and he's a Bengal. And Mueller Epper, he's one of the best quarterbacks in any type of league, anywhere where he plays.
To me, up until
no,
that point,
I mean, he
like,
will be, but I mean, hey, look, you still got Baltimore creeping up. I know they paid, what's his name? But so he's not going to play that well. But Baltimore still got a team that I, you know, I mean, they still got a pretty good team. You know, you got to take them serious. Now, Pittsburgh is always going to be there. You know, middle of the road. I don't see a flash out of Pitt. But if Cincinnati, the only thing hurting Cincinnati is going to be the same thing with San Francisco, is going to be injuries. Injuries, injuries, injuries.
Not with Cincinnati, bro. Cincinnati is going to be in the AFC Championship against somebody else. And it's probably going to be against Kansas City. Let's just be honest. This is how it's going to happen. Oh, wow.
Well, you're discounting it's Buffalo, the Jets, Miami. I mean, Jacksonville, too. I mean, Jacksonville wants to play with the big boys. You can't who's like a wrinkling paper or something? It's very loud.
One of the hottest, greatest teams. And on top of it.
Oh, hold on a sec, Seth. Hold on a sec. Somebody's like crinkling paper or something. It's extremely loud in my ears. It hurts. Microphones are very sensitive these days, and that sucks. But anyway, go ahead, Seth.
No, Trevor Lawrence from Jacksonville is going to be maybe one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen on this planet, but he could also be our modern-day Dan Marino that he did everything but win a Super Bowl, dude.
This Saturday is Saturday, right?
Well, hey, Burrow could
up.
Do that, too. You know what I mean?
No,
Burrow,
I know. Oh, it's fun. I love watching Joe Burrow just sling the ball. Like, he's...
Just watch him play. I got to watch him read a phone book.
Michigan, and we're not fans of Ohio teams ever, right? But it's like...
I hate Ohio.
Yeah,
it's just a natural thing, right, Viper? Just a natural thing.
But, absolutely.
Yeah. But he is he's a great quarterback.
It's so true.
It is.
I hear water. Where'd everyone go?
I don't know. somewhere in Bowerville or Hollow.
Just said new phone, who did?
I don't know.
What's on the agenda? What's on the agenda tonight?
Hey, Viper, you're aware of Luis Arraez or whatever for the Marlins? He was, like, flirting with 400 earlier this year, batting 400.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
He just has a short, quick left-handed stroke, and then they played it next to Tony Gwynn, and you're like, wow. Like, it's just, like, pure. But, dude, he literally was over 400 up until, like, late May, dude. Late May, bet 400. He was crushing it.
No, but he's
still batting, like, 360, whatever.
Right,
you know,
that's what I'm saying. 400 at one point in time?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Ever.
I remember when I was younger, Tony Gwynn made a run. He made a legit run 1 year. It was sometime in the 90s, but, like, he was off there. He might have ended, like, 372 or something like that. That's a crazy, ridiculous batting average, 372.
Well, you know, there was a stat that Pete Rose could come back and go 750 for 750 and still – Tony Gwynn would have a higher batting average.
Yeah.
So Pete Rose could come back right now and go 750 at-bats for 750 hits and still, something like that, 750 for 750, and still Tony Gwynn would have a better batting average.
That's insane.
The thing right now is that the two leading strikeout people in the NL and the AL combined have more strikeouts this year than Tony Gwynn did as a player in his career.
Tony Gwynn, I don't think, had 3,000 hits. Wait a minute, he had to have 3,000 hits. Yes, he did. He did.
You know how to work a count. Man, you know what I'm saying? It's like it could be 2-2, and they'll keep throwing like curved off-speed pitches, and he'll just cap it foul, right? Just waste their arm. I'm not trying to hit it. I'm just wasting your arm. He literally would do that. And then, yeah, boom. Up in the left field for a double. But he was so, he literally was.
Yeah, he was the one of the best of all time.
Just a smooth hitter.
Yeah. In the whole thing, he's a person. Like I know he his spot. He got his spot.
Here it is. 434 strikeouts his entire career.
That's sick.
For Tony Gwynn?
Yep.
Okay, give me Joey Gallo's two best years, right? It's going to be close. Like, Joey Gallo strikes out 200-plus a year, right, for 2 years. So that's the same. That is crazy. That's how different the game is. But that's why I love the Arias kid out of Miami. Like, I love that just simple slap hitting, whatever. Situational hitting, still good at it, right? You can run through.
He got 790 walks. So, you know, and he's got a handful of triples, a bunch of doubles, but mainly he was a singles hitter. And look, that's part of baseball. You need different guys. You can't have everybody do the same thing. You need those pesky bastards that can get a hit, you know, and find the hole. And, you know, a C&I, you know, hit. And that's the guy. He was very technical. So he either got a walk or he put the ball in play and it was more often than not a hit or something. But no, I mean, that's, he was like a perfect hitter. And Ted Williams was, you know, those two became really good friends, you know, and Ted Williams had his own. But Ted Williams had a little, obviously a little more power, but Ted still did hit for average. What was his career?
And he also wore planes in World War II, right? You know, how
great and Korea.
Play was that, right? American hero. Man.
No.
Straight up.
No,
seriously. Comes back, still bats 341. Still bats 341.
Served in World War II.
No.
And then he says, oh, there's the Korean War. I'm going to serve again.
Right.
Ted Williams, right? Is that the Ted Williams everyone's talking about?
The sweetest swing.
The sweetest swing, right?
I had bought a couple copies of it. He had a book out that he wrote maybe in the 60s or something, but it was like, it was either the art of hitting or the science of hitting. I don't remember. But it was like, I bought the book, dude, but it was like Ted Williams like breaking down how to like, see pitches, like it broke everything down, dude. But it was like, dude, that might have been one of my favorite books I've ever like read.
Nice.
Seriously.
Nice.
No, but like if you look back at Ted Williams, he was a, you know, Hall of Famer. He hit all the stats, even missing his prime years, his like 22
prime time.
Yeah, no, he was
prime. Yeah, University of Colorado.
Speaking of which, he won his first game. Prime time.
Nice.
Prime time.
Against TCU.
We all remember growing up watching prime time come up for the first time, right? From Florida State. It was crazy. And he went to the Falcons. He was great.
That's where he made his name, yeah.
I remember a catcher, some catcher, I can't remember who it was, almost beating the crap out of him because he didn't run the first on a fly ball.
I remember that too. I remember that too.
Well, Bill Martin pulled
like people like different attitudes towards like rookies.
Right.
You know, F you.
Well, hey, don't you remember when Billy Martin pulled Reggie Jackson pulled him out of right field during the game. Pulled him right out. Oh, yeah, Reggie was hot. They got in a fight in the dugout.
No, and see, the bad thing is if you just mention the name Billy Martin, now we're going to 10, 15, 20, 30 different circumstances throughout history. So, you know what I mean? Well, you mentioned Billy Martin. Like, yeah, you know.
I think he managed the Tigers in like 71 or 72. No, I'm asking you.
Yeah.
Literally.
No, I know.
Dude, talk about give me a time machine. I would love to go to the old stadium. Remember old girl, dude. Oh, go back there.
No, when
dirt on Billy Martin.
No, when Tigers Stadium was going down and I knew it was going to get demolished, I hugged it at the end. Old girl.
I got to see it. I got to see it before they tore it down too, man. Just once. Had a 460-foot center field, man. That's where they should be. You know, you can't have all these band boxes. You want a home run? Earn it. Get out there and earn it. Hit the ball.
Tiger Stadium was 440 to straight center, but then if you went all the way to right field, it was like 315 or 330. It was ridiculous.
No, I thought they had 460. I thought it was 460. The farthest point at in center field, the farthest point, may not direct center, but it's
about a flagpole.
Oblong.
You mean about a flagpole?
It was 460.
Yeah. Ebbets Field.
No, deep down the right was only like, what, 320 or 340 something.
Yeah,
it still
yeah,
was more than others.
For sure, and then it just went deep. But,
there was a lot of real estate, so you could get a lot of triples, man.
Oh, yeah. If you've ever been
a lot
to
of doubles.
Stadium, you sit in the upper deck on right field side, but you are literally on top of the field. You're in the upper deck. You get the cheap seats. This is like $6 back in the day. But literally the right fielder or whatever is 50, 60 feet from you. It's just like straight down. But they put you right on top of it. It was such a great view. Such a great view. Whereas Comerica is just a one-level thing that just like goes up. You know, there's different levels, but it gradually goes up. But the old ballparks go, like, straight up and down. Just, they're wiggly. Stuff like that.
Right. I have.
Yeah. It's great. Wiggly's. Yeah.
Well, it's getting pennant time in baseball right now. I mean, it's crunch time. It's September.
And also, just real quick, speaking of Wrigley, go Cubs. It was our silent favorites. Like, we love the Cubs and the Braves and the Tigers. That's who I love.
No.
That was my theme song, Go Cubs Go, today.
Forget about this. Cubs doesn't tell you, as a baseball fan, the Mueller effort went to how many years in a row opening day at Wrigley Field? How many years, Pubs?
I went like two out of 3 years or three out of four, but yeah. But I could never, this is my favorite thing about opening day. It's April 1st, right? And now, mind you, we're in Chicago, right? And it's windy as hell, and it's like 33 degrees. So you're like, you're just holding on. Dude, you get into the ballpark, and you get in there, dude. You look at the field, and the field is beautiful, green, perfect, manicured. And you're like, how did you grow this lawn? Like, we just went through the worst winter, but they're professionals. That was my favorite thing about Wrigley Field. Like, wow, I couldn't believe it. But then you get into the bleachers, and then the bleacher creatures, it's fun. They literally catch an opposing home run and throw it back. They don't even want it. That, I don't know.
Well, the Atlanta Braves are, they're leading the league, and they're at 89 wins. Well, they could break 100, but they're, you know, it's going to be kind of tough. They've only got, what? Well, they could. They could break 100 wins. There's plenty of time.
Hey.
The Dodgers.
We all know the moon is not made of green cheese. But if it was made of barbecued spare ribs, would you eat it then?
Yeah.
Harry here.
Oh, his son. Skip Kerr used to announce the Atlanta Braves for decades, dude. I listened to both of them.
Yeah.
You know? But,
well, my Mariners are right now in the West fighting it out with Houston. Seattle's on top.
It's Julio Rodriguez right now.
Oh, dude.
The kid is inferno right now.
Hold on. Talking about the Mariners the other day, when the guy got picked off at first base, the game is over. Ouch. That one hurts, dude. Anybody see that one the other day? I did. No, I was talking about J-Rod.
Well, he's out with a foot.
But he is, I would put J-Rod and Robert, like the Acuna, like he is a big star, dude. That dude, so good. But, yeah, the craziest part about baseball for me this year is the Mets. And they dropped, what, I'm not kidding you, over $300 million for a payroll or something?
No.
What? Am I exaggerating or not? Was ridiculous. And the thing is, like, I root for the Mets. We got a family in New York. It's fine, whatever. And then,
Bub.
Yeah, nothing.
Yeah, I'm Tigers. Yeah,
nothing. My entire life.
Well, the Mets are only 27 and a half games back.
No, hold on. How many
That's
games
not too bad.
28? I like our odds.
So, speaking of baseball, obviously we've got a lot of Detroit Tigers fans. How about the respect nod between future Hall of Famer Cabrera and future Hall of Famer Verlander this week?
Oh, the hat, right? The hat nod?
The hat tip right before Verlander paid him with the hook.
Oh, okay. He says, right. Oh, you guys say English way. I say the yish. No, but it would be my favorite if they did the head nod, and then Verlander snapped a curveball like off Miggy's ass, right? Like, plunks him, but not with a fastball, right? But, oh, that was funny. But Verlander got lit up by the Yankees last night, but which was crazy. He called up their 20-year-old phenom sensation, Jason Domínguez. First pitch he sees, he takes Verlander opposite field, home run. And they're in Houston, and the place is going crazy. That's crazy. Opposite field, and he's not even at Yankee Stadium. It was just, if you're the Yankees, that at least they have something, looks like a core piece to build on, right? They've got so much money invested in other stuff. It's like you need to develop young talent to come in because you're honestly paying them $2.5 million a year, right? Under their rookie, you know, they could be a big bonus baby. You call them up. They're still only making $2.5 million a year for like 3-4 years before they can even go to like free agency. So they need to develop that. I don't know.
So are we going to talk NFL or what?
Oh, you want to talk about the Kansas City Detroit Thursday game? I don't know.
Well, the season does start Thursday. We haven't even predicted who's going to win their divisions yet.
Like, we shouldn't really be talking about these Thursday games. I don't know.
Well, we tried it. It doesn't work because you got to talk about it a week ahead of time, and it mixes with the other week, and it don't work. So we talk about it after the game. But, hey, look, next week we are going to be picking, and it's going to be a lot to talk about because, look, there's a lot of questions, and a lot of teams could win a lot of games. You just don't know who is and who won't. But right now, I mean, the Thursday game, Detroit and Kansas, they're in Kansas City. So it is going to be extremely difficult for Detroit to overcome in Kansas City. But I really believe Detroit is going to come out, and they're from where they left off last year, they have to. And they come out swinging, and they challenge the Chiefs. They've got to. It doesn't matter. Who cares if you win or lose? Just go out and fight. I want to see Detroit get in a fight with them. Pick a fight with one of the players. I don't know. Get a bench-clearing brawl. But show some life.
I would love to see him go for every fourth down. Like Dan Campbell in the last couple of years. No, but the running gun philosophy. But I'm not kidding you. It, like, caught fever with him. But it's like, so then they get that mentality. Like, dude, we're never out of this. Like, we are. Like, this is what we have to do. It's been fun. It's been fun to be a Lions fan last year.
Well, they're already Detroit is already getting ready to assign Jared Goff to an extension before the season opener. So they've got a lot of faith in him. I don't think Goff is going to take any games away from you. Now, they do have, if he goes down, you got Bridgewater who's got some experience. So you've got a young coach who is very energetic. They got the team on a high note. They did a lot of, you know, good things the last couple of years. So it's up to Detroit. You know, go out and do it or just don't show up. So but what's the name of that Viper? What's the name of their head coach again? I can't remember his name. I like him.
Where?
In Detroit.
Hubs just said it. Dan Campbell.
Dan Campbell.
I saw a video today on Facebook with Dan Campbell doing down-ups with his team. How many coaches can do that?
Pete Carroll?
No, he did it for Hard Knocks last year. He did it. No, it's part of his – but I'm telling you, it's like he was in the NFL. He's been a player, right? He's seen a lot of the sides of the business. So he would know how to talk to a player, right?
Yep.
But they all buy in. But it's like, why would they buy in? Because he's awesome, man. He's a cool dude.
No, I think he's a former Lion. That he is. I have seen our sufferings.
He gives a crap.
I want to change this culture, and he might be that guy that did it.
He is the player's coach version of Mike Ditka. You know, tough as nails, demanding, but in an inspiring way.
Well, look, the Lions can only go up. So,
since we're picking next week, and it's going to take a lot of time, why don't we just go division by division, and let's try a preseason pick of where we think the divisions are going to end up.
I'm into it.
Hey, also, I wanted to ask if you guys, because that Joe that calls in, they do pick'ems on their show as well, too. And I was thinking of something when I called him today. And we could have a friendly, if they've got, we've got us three when we do the picks. I think they have three as well, too, or Brother X. But so if they got three or four, have a friendly compare hours to theirs, meaning we get the most. Like if you get eight, I get seven, and Seth gets like 10 or whatever, and you add those up. So anyway, it doesn't really matter. We'll see how that goes. But, yeah, let me pull this up here real quick. And
that
would
be fun because you guys got the trump card and the Viper.
Yeah. So if we all average, say, nine and they average eight, you know, kind of like Bar Wars, you know.
I really don't know what I have to do, but I have to trump the Viper. I don't know what this is, but I have to do it. Yeah.
You can't.
You have to what?
I don't know. But
so what do you have to do,
here,
Seth?
Does Viper got the beat on the Indianapolis Colts now? Are you in Indiana?
No. Are you kidding me? Screw the Colts.
Yeah, and I never trust them with the Falcons.
Yeah, Bob. Yeah, bring it down.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna follow Matty Ice to the. I'm following Matty Ice to the studio booth is what I'm doing.
To the pay dirt. Matty Ice got paid, son. He was good though. He was.
He got a payday.
No, he was paid. He was super paid. But like, where's he at now? He's done. He's already
it's
done.
Like,
I guarantee
he was technically a free agent.
Is he even 40 yet?
Yeah,
no.
He's got, well, he's 39, 38. He's got to be. Well, he's the same age as Rodgers, I thought. But, well, anyway, starting with the AFC, that Eastern Division, again, that's, it's going to be very tough until towards the end, and then I think everything is going to start molding into place. It's going to be one of these teams is going to take over. You got Buffalo, Miami, New England, and the Jets. Again, it is the Jets' year, but look, Buffalo doesn't see it that way. New England doesn't, and Miami certainly doesn't. They're pretty set. If Tua goes down, they've got who is he now? Their backup, Mike White. Yeah. So he's got experience, and Mike White actually played pretty good. So, hey, I wouldn't discount Miami at least, showing up.
No, I mean, you really have to look at the AFC East, and you brought in Aaron Rodgers into this division. Moreover, Tom Bagan, everything has changed. Who knows what is going on? And on top of it, the Jets last year, their quarterback situation sucked multiple times, and they still almost made the playoffs in the AFC. Which is very tough. So I'm pretty much thinking in Rodgers last spot. Period. Done.
I have to admit, and I'm not a Rodgers fan, but this doesn't come from bias. I don't know where people think this is the year of the Jets. Okay, Rodgers was facing almost no competition in terms of head-to-head quarterback play in the NFC. And when's the last time Green Bay went to the Super Bowl? I mean, he's in the AFC now. Okay, he's got quarterbacks all over the place that can out-duel him. Why are we thinking they're automatic? They're encouraging. They've got a shot, but you know what? A lot of teams in the AFC have a shot.
I think they're very intriguing. They're very intriguing. And
yes.
Didn't they just sign Dalvin Cook also?
On the down slope of his career,
Dalvin
but yes,
Cook.
Yes.
They have Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Right.
And it sucks for running backs in the NFL right now because they're not getting paid. Right. I think he probably signed for $6 million, right? Whereas the QBs are getting $45, $50 million. Wide receivers get $25, $30 million close to.
Yeah. They're getting $20.
Oh, yeah. Hockenson, man, we dodged that bullet. We dodged that bullet. He was a high-round draft pick, and he produced, and he went to Pro Bowls. So he out, we'll just draft the tight end this year. Seriously. Second round.
He ain't Travis Kelce, though.
No. Well, he's an Iowa U. He's another one. He's a ball hand.
Laporta.
Laporta.
Sam Laporta. So anyway, AFC East. AFC East. Let's go around the room. Who's going to win it?
Hey, Gonzalez.
All right. No, I'm with you, Viper. Hold on. I was doing some things. Yeah. All right. Go around the corner here. Viper, why don't you go first? Who do you realistically think
AFC
is going to win
AFC East? AFC
East,
I picked the Bills. They're still the most complete team.
All right.
Wow.
Seth?
You are brave. You are very brave. Good for you.
Tell me their weakness.
I'm not going to tell you their weakness. I'm going to tell you the Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets, dude.
All right. Pubs, who do you got?
It's such a crazy division. Such a crazy division, but
it is.
Dude, I'm going to take Miami. I would take Miami. No, hold on. If Tua takes the next step, it's a wrap, dude. You know the receivers and the skill players they have? And, you know, if it's cool. It's Miami, right?
Well, look, Tua, I think, is going to go down. He had really bad concussion last year. That was ridiculous why they let him play. And he's been injured. He was injured in college. He was injured when he was drafted. And he's going to be injured again. But they do have Mike White. But the rest of the team, they still got an exciting defense when they want to play. And they got an exciting offense when they want to play. But I do believe it's going to be the Jets only because the Jets are buying, they're trying to buy a Super Bowl. And if it's not going to be the Jets, then it has to be Buffalo. So it's going to be it. But that first game is going to be an interesting game, Jets in Buffalo. And I think there's a lot of pride there, and neither one of these teams want to lose that week one. They want to show the other guy, yeah, I'm bigger than you. Yeah. And I think we're going to see an exciting game Monday night.
We got two Jets. We got one Miami, one Buffalo then.
2 years ago, something I said 2 years ago, I said, this is the time for Buffalo to win and take advantage of the AFC East. And they didn't. And now they're doomed, dude.
Well, it's going to be
what they're going to do. This team is going to go down, and it's not going to make sense. You're going to look at great wide receivers, great quarterbacks. No, there's Buffalo Bills, and they're doomed.
Well, I'll tell you this. The Jets, if Rodgers, if he even thinks about even making a mistake, he may not realize this New York market that he came into. He may not be used to it, but look, he's going to have to accept the fact he doesn't make a mistake on Sunday because they're going to eat him alive. And if he does stink up the joint, they're going to run him out of town. They won't even let him in the state. He doesn't really care, but he needs to realize this. You know, this market here in New York is a different market.
Yeah,
he can't be screwing around. I know, but he can't be screwing around with the reporters either. They will eat him alive. He does. You know, and Randy Johnson found out the hard way. A lot of guys found out the hard way. They're not used to that. He never had that in Green Bay.
No, I'm half New York, so. I've been around the media and this and that. They love you or hate you. That's it.
Exactly.
And
the fans love you or hate you. There's no.
And I'm telling you, when they hate you, you are so screwed.
You are, yeah.
Because you can't win them back. It's a long road to win them back.
You can't. They'll remember, too. New York, they remember. Oh, do they remember? They've got a memory. They're like women. They can bring back things that, you know, your ancestors argued over. That's how, you know, how they are. But now moving on to the North. Now, I don't like this division. I feel bad for Cincinnati because I think they're going to be injured a lot. I want to see Cincinnati. I really do. I really want to see them. But Baltimore, I think right now you have to go, if I was to bet, I would say Cincinnati is going to fight it out with Baltimore, but I think Cincinnati in the end is going to pull ahead and they're going to take that division. So, Viper, who do you got? AFC North.
I agree. I think it's going to be Cincinnati, but I actually believe the Browns are going to cause the problem. I think with Deshaun Watson moving past his controversy, some of the pieces the Browns have one of the best running combos in the game. They got Deshaun Watson. They've got a good receiving core. They got one of the best pass rushers on defense. They actually have more pieces than we care to acknowledge. But I still think Cincinnati is going to be the class of the division. I think the Browns are going to be the one to give them the run. But I agree with you, Cincinnati.
But you don't think Pittsburgh, you think Cleveland's going to be over Pitt?
I think Kenny Pickett's going to turn the corner, but I don't think they've got enough of a running game to really pound people in the ground, and I think that's going to be their Achilles heel.
Good analysis. Seth, who takes that division?
You're talking about the AFC North?
Yeah, Baltimore,
yes.
Cincinnati, Cleveland, or Pitt?
Surprise and shocker, the Steelers. Period. Done.
Okay.
Bengals, right. A wild card. Yep.
Ooh.
You can pick it.
Pubs, what do you got on this division?
I can't stop thinking about Lamb Jack in Baltimore and their new offensive coordinator, right? It's like they got Odell, they've got Zay Flowers, they've got Lamar said he would love to throw it for like 6,000. He put out like ridiculous stats, but everybody's looking at him. He said, "Yeah, I want to throw 5,000 yards or whatever." But it's like, if they could do that, Harbaugh. I like read a bunch of articles where that he runs a class operation. Like it's they, you know. I don't know. Lamb Jack, he's back. He got paid.
That's why he's not back. He got paid, and he's going to jump.
He's looking for vindication of some kind. It just goes out and just wastes it.
He won't. Hey, look, he might. He's going to come out. I think he's going to come out swinging. But I do believe at the end of the season, towards the end, we're going to see Cincinnati is going to start pulling ahead. I think they're going to start pulling ahead. But now the South, the only one who's going to have anything of any kind of a season is going to be Jacksonville. Houston's a mess. Indianapolis is a mess. Tennessee is about at least a half a mess. And Jacksonville is, you know, overachieving a little, and they don't care. They just go out there and have fun. So I got to give AFC South right now, I got to give it to Jacksonville. But I don't see Jacksonville being too deep into double-digit wins like they were last year. They made it, you know. But I don't see them too deep into that. But we'll find out. Maybe they're going to improve. We'll find out. Viper, I mean, where is that division?
Yeah.
That's a weak division, but
it comes down to Jacksonville and Tennessee, and I just think that you know, Jacksonville has righted the ship. Defensive side of the ball worries me a little bit about them, but, you know, Trevor Lawrence is far more dangerous and productive than Ryan Tannehill is in the downslope of his career. You got Derrick Henry on the backside of his prime. As good a coach as I think Vrabel is, I think Doug Peterson's just a notch better, and I think Jacksonville's going to – Indianapolis and Houston's going to do nothing. They're going to be an afterthought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Seth?
No, Trevor Lawrence, to me, is probably one of the best quarterbacks right now in this league. Let's see what he does. So,
well, this is his year. He's got to prove it. He's got a tough year because he look. I mean, you still have the teams we've already talked about. You know, he's got that. You know, so and then we haven't even brought up the Chiefs yet. So, yeah, that's to be in the AFC right now. You feast or famine. You got to be good. And you got to be better than everybody. So
no,
there's a lot of competition.
I would really say that Trevor Lawrence, in my opinion, is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, not just the AFC.
And he came up as a junior, which, you know, was very difficult to do, especially as a quarterback. You know, that's that, you know, he lucked out. But, hey, look, the kid is good, and he keeps improving every year. So we have to expect him to have a little more improvement in Jacksonville. They need to get, you know, deep into the double digits. So we'll find out. So, Pubs, I mean, we're all in Jacksonville. Where are you at?
Did Jacksonville get to the playoffs last year? That's what I'm asking.
They got to the title game last year. And they should have won it. So,
right. I'm telling
you. They beat the Chiefs.
This guy is probably the best quarterback in the NFL. Period. AFC, NFC.
No. I want to see something. I want to see if the Jets play Jacksonville, because that would be a good game. No, they don't. So, but they won't play them until, you know, the postseason.
But how awesome of a playoff game would that be? And then where do you play Jacksonville? Or Jersey or whatever, right? What a big difference.
Playoffs?
Playoffs.
Yeah. Playoffs.
Well, I tell you this. If you play that game in Jacksonville, I can guarantee you Jacksonville, Florida is going to just, I mean, that entire city is going to light up. And you're playing a Yankee? New York Jets,
yeah.
Aaron Rodgers? They hate Rodgers. Oh, my God, Jacksonville's going to go – that fan base is going to go nuts. It will be very difficult, I don't care who you are, to come in a title game inside Jacksonville. They had – Jacksonville had to go to Kansas City last year. So that's hard to play in Arrowhead. I don't care if regular season, even a practice game, it's hard to win there, you know, so – But since we're on that division, you know, the West, you've got Kansas City, and then you've got three other teams that, you know, may or may not show up. Chargers, well, I know you paid Herbert $54 million. Let's see if he can do it, but you need the rest of the team. You know?
But to be in all honesty, Herbert is –
a Chargers quarterback for the next 15 years. He's basically the modern-day Dan Fouts. He's going to get to the playoffs 10 out of 15.
He'll get a bunch of stats, and he'll look good on paper and no rings.
He's still an amazing quarterback. And you have to say he's probably one of the best ever. Right?
Joe Montana declared Dan Marino the best quarterback ever, I do believe.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. That's actually quite a compliment.
Remember when he blew out his Achilles and they put him back out there, like, within his plastic boot? Like, he literally had, like, a cast on, and he's back there dropping back. Three-step drops, dude. And just, like...
Well, hey, look. I want to talk to you guys about this. About Denver. Jesus. I want to talk to you guys about, in that division, Denver. Now, you remember Stidham. Well, I watched this guy. And this guy is, I'm telling you, I think he's going to take Russell Wilson's job away from him. And it's not going to take very long because Wilson is still Wilson. He lost his play in his mind. And you know is not going to put up with it. You know, you're not going to screw with this guy. And I'm telling you, this Jarrett Stidham, oofta, this guy... And he's prime and he's ready. This is his fourth year. Yeah, I think my prediction is he takes over. Russell Wilson gets benched. Stidham takes over and he will be their franchise quarterback.
Stidham's a solid quarterback. I agree.
Yeah. And he played this preseason. I'm telling you, he looked, I mean, just... It was impressive to watch. Smooth. That's the word I'm looking for. Smooth. And Russell Wilson is a mess.
If Russell Wilson tries to challenge Sean Payton, I absolutely 100% agree with you, Skeet. He's going to be on the bench.
Payton is not. He's not the kind of guy that you're. Carroll let him get away with a lot of it, but deep down inside, there was stuff coming out. Those two had, they butted heads, you know. But Russell Wilson screwed himself up. He's got no appointment himself. And the poor Raiders, okay. I mean, Raiders are 7-9 or 9-7. That's the only, you know, or 9-8, whatever it is.
They signed Jimmy, right?
Yep.
Yep.
You
Jimmy
still got
Garoppolo
the rest
back
of the
with.
Do you really
back
think
with
that's
Josh
an upgrade
McDaniels.
Over Derek Carr, though? Is that really an upgrade over Derek Carr, do you think?
Who delivers in the crunch, I think it is.
It's a move over, not a move up or down. It's just a move over.
It's somewhat of a lateral move, I agree. But Garoppolo had more success than Derek Carr.
No, I know.
Well, you also have two different attitudes in the quarterbacks. Derek Carr was not liked on the Raiders. Nobody liked him. The team didn't like him. Gruden, nobody liked him. He was not very well liked. Well, Jimmy Garoppolo is a little bit different. So this guy's coming over here. You got less tension in the locker room, which really can affect the play. It's everything is new. The Raiders, you know, hey, we got nothing to lose. Let's go out and have a good time. So Garoppolo is going to keep you in the game. He's not going to lose any games for you. Like Goff, they're not going to lose any. Garoppolo is a competent quarterback. He's been to a Super Bowl. He's a veteran. The guy is, and probably could be a pretty good coach, you know, after he's all said and done.
He's playing for his he was a QB coach.
Yeah, but I mean.
Yeah, McDaniels was OC for when Garoppolo was there.
Nope.
Right, but in New England, right? They were both there in New England,
right.
So he's familiar with it. So like they could literally fine tune it nowadays, right? You could fine tune it. It's like, yeah, we've known this for 15 years or 10 years or whatever.
But right now, they could really be dialing it in. That would be an interesting storyline to the NFL season if New England just went off.
Well, you know, the bottom line is this. All of these teams, with the exception of a few of them that you know are just not going to do nothing, it is buddies. You know, it's anybody's conference. If you want it, you can go out and you can get it. You know, it's there. You know, there's a lot of competition, and you play your cards right, and you win a few more games than you did last year, and hey, boom, you're in the playoffs. So, but no, that's going to be interesting. But now we got the NFC. We got 17 minutes. We'll make it. Now, something tells me, and I'm not a Cowboys fan, and I hate the Eagles, but something tells me Dallas is going to challenge the Eagles this year. But I think when it's all said and done, Dallas takes the wild card. But Giants are not going to do the same they did last year. That was, I believe, a bit of a fluke. And, of course, the Washington, once Redskins, then football team, now Commanders, and now something else, and I don't know. But that's going to be a hard division, though, between Dallas and Philly. See, I'm kind of torn on this. I mean, Viper, do you have – it's going to be close between those two, though. Am I right or am I completely wrong?
Well, I think it is, and I don't know. I think it's all going to depend on, honestly, who stays healthiest. And, you know,
yeah.
I think both have talent. I think Philadelphia has the edge in talent. But they also have a running quarterback who can get exposed and can get dinged up. Prescott's more of a pocket guy, but he's also been a China doll. So, honestly, I think it all depends on who's going to stay healthiest between these two teams to win the division. I'll go with Philly simply because they're defending that title. They kind of dominated last year, and they just have the most talent. I mean, if it goes to Mariota, though, I mean, watch out.
Well, it
they're
says
in trouble.
Mariota getting the start. Now, is that must be from last week's preseason game. I can't imagine
preseason,
he's taking the job over. Yeah. He's not taking the job over Hurts. No way. No.
No.
But, I mean, hey, look, Jalen Hurts, I do believe he did get a little banged up last year. But, I mean, if he does, you do have Mariota, which I'm not a fan of. But he is the kind of a guy who can come in off the bench when you need him, and he can, you know, keep you in the game or maybe win the thing for you. So I think they're going to be set. As much as I hate to admit it, I do believe Philly is going to sneak it out at the end. So, Seth, what do you got on this division?
He's a solid backup.
Seth. All right, Bubs, are you with us?
Correct.
Who do we got in this division? The NFC East, Dallas, Giants, Philly, or Washington?
Oh, wow. I'm going to go Giants, dude, and I don't know. Dable, he's doing stuff over there, and I think it's like they're buying in, like with Dan Campbell, right? It's like once the pupil's buying with the master, dude, there's no stopping you. So I really like that story. So I'm going to say the Giants.
Well, Barkley finally got himself squared away, so let's hope his head stays in the game and he's not disgruntled. But he finally had a season where he was healthy, and he played phenomenal last year. And if he can do it again, the Giants could, repeat their season and, you know, maybe improve. But
I still don't know where Kenny Galladay is. I think he's still unsigned.
Who?
Kenny Galladay. He was a draft pick for the Lions, and then the Giants signed him for like two or three years for like ridiculous amount of money, and then by whatever by last year, yeah, like you.
He's not even on the roster anymore.
Yeah, $19 million a year they were giving him. But when he was in Detroit, he was like a third-round pick out of like some crazy South Dakota, Illinois, Western, like some weird little school, but he put his own mixtape together and stuff. But anyway, he had some he was a Pro Bowler one year. He was good. But then he got the big money in New York and just faded away. Just, you see it a lot, right? Especially our age.
Well, he's in the training room all the time, you know?
We've seen it a bunch, people going to New York and just not producing at all. I guess it's the pressure cooker, though, right?
Well, it is. If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. And if you can't, then you're worthless. You are... You are just a worthless scum. You don't even exist in the world.
Yes, we agree. No, but see, you make it sound so nice.
That's how they are. They're just, they're brutal. Now, just think if poor Buckner... If Buckner would have been in New York, my God, they would have hung him. He would have had to have run. He would have had to leave the country. You know, so he's lucky he did it in Boston, even though Boston ran him out of town. But
like
he didn't ever made it to. Yeah,
but that was the managerial error. They shouldn't have put Buckner, who was like 38.
Yeah, but no, Buckner was an all-star, and he never made it to first base anyway. So
it's like, who made that call? They totally misplaced him, literally.
Well, the pitcher wasn't even running over there. So even if the pitcher would have got there, if he'd have got it, he wouldn't have been able to throw him out in time. And if he was running, he'd have never made it to the bag before the runner. So, but it didn't matter. It went under his legs. That's the only thing they saw. They didn't see anything else. And they, you know, they finally let him come back.
The 86 Mets are one of my favorite teams of all time. I love that team.
Yeah, they were. I was in college. They were a fun, fun team. Well, now let's go
12
to...
12 minutes.
Three
divisions.
Yeah, we got 12 minutes. We got two more divisions. We've got the NFC North now. This is, you know, again, Minnesota. I got to give it to Minnesota, but they're not going to go very far in the postseason. But I really do believe, I think Detroit, I think they're going to take at least the wild card, but I got to give it to Minnesota because they just, this is just the way they are. So, Viper, where are you on this? You know Chicago is not going to do anything. Green Bay, maybe nothing, but you know what I mean?
I think Green Bay is going to be a little bit better than people think. But
I do, too. I do, too.
You know, I'm sorry. I got to go with the Lions. I think they're built to win this division. I don't know if they're built to go deep in the playoffs, but I think they're built to win this division right now.
I hope you're right. I really want to see it. Seth, are you with us?
I am, but when you talk about the NFC North, I see the Lions trying to do stuff, but you know what? Everybody's going to go 500 with each other, and they're going to screw each other. So that's the way I see it.
Well, all right, Pubs. I mean, what do you got on this?
Just looking at it logically, like taking my heart out of it, I'm actually taking the Detroit Lions, and that's the scary part about the whole scenario, right? I'm not even thinking my heart. Like looking at the lineups, just the matchups. I'm going to take the Lions, and that's...
Okay, well, let me ask both of you this. Now, I think it's fair to say that Minnesota is probably going to get at least 10 wins. They'll be in double-digit wins. Do either one of you see Detroit in double wins, and when was the last time they were in double wins? But, I mean, do they have a chance? I think they got a legitimate chance, but do you see them actually getting over 10 wins, 11 or more?
Yeah, I'm saying.
I think they go 10 and 7.
10 and 7. I could see 12 and 5. 12 and 5.
Well, if they could get to 10 and 7, they stand a pretty good chance of winning at least one playoff game, and that's all they need to do. That's a 40-some-year drought, and they just need to get that little monkey off their back, and then they'll get the next one off their back. But baby steps, you know?
I would prefer them to do it the first week to get the first one off their back and then just keep going. Like, just America loves a team that goes on some kind of crazy run out of nowhere, right? Everybody does. I love that story. When people just, they come out of nowhere. I love that story.
No, I do too. Now, real quick, now Derek Carr is coming on.
NFC South. Marco.
Hello?
Marco.
Polo?
I hear Polo. Marco.
Marco's pizza.